from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia still exists, Republic still exists, a slogan depicting high spirit of RRI. Indonesia contributes to providing conduciveness of South China Sea. Now the news in detail. Public Broadcasting Institution Radio Republik Indonesia will celebrate its 73rd anniversary on the upcoming September 11. This commemoration also marks the Radio Day. The spirit of honoring heroes and the sovereignty of Indonesia becomes the main theme of the celebration slogan, namely, from this moment, Indonesia still exists and will remain exist. Director General of LPP RRI, M. Rohanuddin, said in Jakarta on Sunday, the slogan was inspired by a slogan broadcasted by Radio Rimba Raya in the period of 1948-1949 during the Dutch occupation in Indonesia. Rohanuddin explained, under the command of Syafruddin Prawira Negara in 1948, the radio, located in Benar Meriah Regency Aceh, courageously and robustly broadcasted the message that Indonesia still existed and remained sovereign. The message was contradictory to the Dutch colonials who were attempting to destroy Indonesia's communication devices at that time. Rohanuddin further said the spirit in maintaining the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia was the primary focus of LPP RRI to provide better and eligible broadcast.
Indonesia masih ada, Republik masih ada, begitulah teriakan dan laporan radio itu.
Indonesia still exists, Republic still exists. This was broadcasted by Radio Rimba Raya around the globe through a 1 kilo broadcast transmitter. The message marks a high spirit of Indonesian radio, a radio which also established cooperation with RRI at that time. Therefore, the effort of Indonesian radio reflect the contribution of supporting the struggle of the Republic of Indonesia. On the occasion, Rohanuddin said RRI Net to be launched coincided with the 73rd anniversary of RRI was a form of technology advancement developed by RRI. According to Rohanuddin, the presence of RRI Net was not to compete with television but attracting the interest of the expanding Indonesian society. RRI Net itself is a part of digitalized revolution of RRI implemented through a visual radio. North Sulawesi Province Regional Secretary said Indonesia contributed to providing conducive situation in the South China Sea territory. It was stated by Edwin Silangen at the 28th workshop on managing the conflict potential of South China Sea in Manado on Sunday. Edwin Silangen hope the workshop will bring about positive impacts for the peace and stability of South China Sea. technical problems pertaining to fishery, biodiversity study, marine database, sea surface, and tidal wave observation can be resolved if this kind of activity is optimized thoroughly. The workshop is Indonesia's initiative, held annually and attended by 11 parties, namely Brunei Darussalam, the Philippines, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos PDR, Malaysia, China, Singapore, Vietnam, and Chinese Taipei. Governor of Jakarta Special Region Anies Baswedan launched the mural artwork at Taman Ismail Marzuki, Jakarta on Monday, September 10. The mural artwork is the collaboration between the Jakarta government and the Colombian Embassy in Jakarta. In his remark, Governor Anies admitted that he felt different atmosphere when entering Taman Ismail Marzuki after looking at the works of Colombian muralist Ledania. Therefore, the governor wants more art and cultural ornaments in Jakarta. Governor Anies Baswedan further said, the launching of mural this time was a momentum to realize Jakarta as a platform of art and cultural expression.
Menjadikan momentum ini lebih dari sekedar peringatan munculnya atau peresmian sebuah mural.
Make this momentum more than just a launching of mural artwork. We have to deploy the chance to realize our vision of presenting Jakarta as a room of art and cultural expression. I have remarked several times that Jakarta must become a canvas attracting various artists to demonstrate their creativity in the city. Governor Anies Baswedan told the making of mural in Jakarta had been started particularly when welcoming the 2018 Asian Games and the 73rd Independence Day of Indonesia recently. According to the governor, the implementation of mural and the wall could enhance the aesthetic and beauty of Jakarta. Therefore, his site would like to continue the implementation of mural. He also hoped Jakarta society to utilize their environment with creative art. Lastly, Anies Baswedan also messaged to Ledania as a muralist to establish interactions with Indonesian artists in a bid to exchange ideas and experiences. Academician of the Palu Islamic State Institute IAIN Palu, Arifuddin M. Arif, said Islamic boarding school was one of the pivotal pillars in establishing the practices of Islam formally and supporting the implementation of the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. The existence of Islamic boarding school in building human resources is inevitable. Likewise, Islamic boarding school also plays important role in the dissemination and comprehension of Islamic practices through education and da'wah, or Islamic lecture. Based on the report by Antara Arifuddin M. Arif said in Jakarta on Sunday, the dissemination of Islamic da'wah began from Islamic boarding school was inseparable from the involvement of ulama or Islamic clerics and their students in presenting inclusive Islamic characteristics, middle path, equality, and balance. He also told Islamic boarding school also contributed to the struggle of independence of the Republic of Indonesia. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Tourism Ministry has revised upward the number of Malaysian tourists visiting Indonesia this year to 2.6 million from 1.4 million. Deputy Assistant of Marketing Development at the Indonesian Tourism Ministry, Sumarni, said on the sidelines of Malaysia Association of Tour and Travel Agents, MATA, on Sunday, in the January to June period, 1.4 million Malaysians visited Indonesia. She hoped the number would increase to 2,570,000 at the end of this year. According to Sumarni, the MATA Fair is an annual event. Sumarni told the Tourism Ministry brought 30 travel agents and 10 accommodations to sell Indonesian tourism packages and establish partnership with Malaysian agents. She said more Malaysian tourists were expected to buy tourism packages from Indonesia through the forum. Sumarni further explained, Malaysia ranked third after China and Singapore in terms of foreign tourist arrivals in Indonesia last year. Sumarni hoped Malaysia would rank first in 2018. Sumarni told West Java, Yogyakarta, and Jakarta were favorite tourist destinations for Malaysian tourists. In addition, she said, Lombok was actually a favorite spot for Malaysian tourists, yet the number of visitors fell due to the recent earthquake. Effort went on to extinguish a wildfire that has raised an area measuring 9.5 hectares in Mount Sindoro Forest, located in Wonosobo and Temanggung districts, Central Java Province, on Sunday. Sutopo Purwonugroho, spokesman of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, said in a statement on Sunday that the fire was spotted for the first time on Friday in Wonosobo and spread to Temanggung. Some 9.5 hectares of bushes and vegetation area were gutted by the fire that had inflicted losses worth 1.4 billion rupiah. According to Antara, a total of 219 people, among others, comprising military officers and volunteers, worked hard to extinguish the fire. However, the effort were hampered by difficult terrain, strong wind, and lack of supporting facilities. The authorities have declared Mount Sindoro closed to climbing since Saturday because of the wildfire. The last item. Indonesian Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan opened the 2018 Sail Moyo Tambora at the pier of the Badas Port, Sumbawa, West Nusa Tenggara on Sunday. As reported by KBRN, Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan remarked the opening ceremony of the 2018 Sail Moyo Tambora, attended by thousands of guests, was the first step to revive the tourism industry of West Nusa Tenggara, which recently declined due to the earthquake rocking Lombok and Sumbawa. Meanwhile, commander of the 162 military resort Wirabakti, Colonel Ahmad Rizal Ramdhani, said the event would be held for 2 weeks, starting from September 9 to 23, by showcasing various cultural richness and local wisdom of Sumbawa Island. A number of activities such as skydiving show attraction, ship parades of Sumbawa's fishermen, marching band, tree planting, and launching the new Sultan M. Kaharudin III Airport also enliven the opening ceremony. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hi, listeners of Radio Republik Indonesia, wherever you are. I am Johanna Bismarck-Skoog, Ambassador of Sweden to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 73rd anniversary to Radio Republik Indonesia. And may this coming year bring more peace and prosperity to all of you, wherever you are. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara, Bhinneka Tunggal Ika.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is The Meaning of President Joko Widodo's Visit to South Korea. President Joko Widodo left for South Korea on Sunday, September 9, 2018. His visit to Seoul is the reciprocal one of South Korean President Moon Jae-in to Indonesia in 2017. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi remarked that the visit of President Joko Widodo aims to strengthen economic cooperation, especially in facing the current and future global economic situation. While in Seoul, President Joko Widodo is to hold bilateral meeting with South Korean President Moon Jae-in. and attend Indonesian South Korean Business Forum and one-on-one business meeting. In addition, the governments of the two countries will sign a number of memorandums of understanding in the fields of legislation, cooperation in immigration, economy, human resources, maritime security and environment and forestry. South Korea is one of the top 10 countries that invest in Indonesia, such as the investment of Korean steel giant company POSCO, which has established a partnership with PT Krakatau Steel to build a large steel smelter in Cilegon, Banten. Besides, the Korean retail store network Lotte has also been operating in Indonesia for a long time. Trade between the two countries also increased significantly, reaching almost 12%. The potential is quite large. In 2017, the value of trade between Indonesia and South Korea reached $16.3 billion. In addition to strengthening cooperation in the economic sector, President Joko Widodo's visit to South Korea this time is also to commemorate the 45th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and South Korea. In addition to bilateral relations, cooperation between Indonesia and South Korea has been also established in various international forums. One of them is the MIFTA Forum, Mexico, Indonesia, South Korea, Turkey, and Australia, which has seven main areas of cooperation, namely fighting terrorism, trade and economy, energy, sustainable development, gender equality, peacekeeping operation, good governance, and democracy. President Joko Widodo's visit to South Korea this time will also be used to provide support for the two Korean peace and strengthen Indonesian support for the peace process on the Korean Peninsula. So it is hoped that the peace of the two Koreas will be realized immediately. Hopefully, President Joko Widodo's visit to South Korea brings about positive impact and strengthens better relations between the two countries, especially in the economic, political, security, and socio-cultural fields. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. While listening, we start for an event on September 10, 1912, when the Islamic Trade Union, led by Cokro Aminato, changed to be Islamic Union. In the past, the Islamic Union had the name Islamist Trade Union, which was established on October 16, 1905 by Haji Samanhudi. Islamist Trade Union was the first organization in Indonesia. Earlier, the organization, which was established by Samanhudi and his friends, was Organization of Islamic Traders, who opposed the Dutch politic that gave flexibility of the foreign traders to dominate people's economy at the time. At the first congress of the organization in Solo, 1906, its name was changed to be Islamic Union. On September 10, 1912, because of political and social situation at the time, Hos Cokro Aminoto make a formal appearance to the notary B. Ter Quile in Solo to make Islam Union as legal entity with new budget of Islamic Union that got recognition and legalization by the Dutch government on September 14, 1912. Hos Cokro Aminoto changed wider jurisdiction of Islamic Union, which in the past only included economic and social, political and religious problems, to give spirit of Islamic struggle in the spirit of people's struggle on colonialization and imperialism at the time. The next event is that 1945, pioneer of Indonesian Navy Sea People Security Agency was established. Indonesian Navy is part of Indonesian military, which is responsible on sea operation, led by Chief of Staff of the Indonesian Navy. The power of the Indonesian Navy consists of two fleets, Western Fleet Centers at Tanjung Priok, North Jakarta, and Eastern Fleet Centers in Tanjung Perak, Surabaya, and Military Sea Cross Command. The history of Indonesian Navy began on September 10, 1945, when the government established Sea People Security Agency. The agency was spearheaded by sailors who had duty in the Navy ranks of the Dutch and Kaigun in the Japanese colonial. The establishment of the Indonesian military organization, which was well known as People Security Army, TKR, also triggered the existence of Sea People Security Army, which was well known as Indonesian Navy, with all of the strength and ability. And the last event is that in 1974, Guinea-Bissau gained its independence from Portugal. Guinea-Bissau is a state in West Africa. The state borders with Senegal in the north and Guinea in the south and east and Atlantic Ocean in the west. In the past, Guinea-Bissau was part of Cabo Kingdom, which was part of Mali Empire. Part of the kingdom survived until 18th century, while some other parts were part of a Portugal empire. Thus, Guinea-Bissau became part of colony of Portugal, Guinea-Portugal, in the 18th century. After the independence was declared in 1973 and recognized September 10, 1974, the name of its capital city, Bissau, was added in the name of the state to avoid confusion with Guinea State. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with regular segment My Indonesia. Today, it's on Indonesian product to Australia will be duty-free. All Indonesian products will enjoy 0% import duty from Australia. That happened along with the recent discussion of the substance of the Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. With the cooperation agreement, Australia eliminated 6,474 tariff posts or entirely to 0% for Indonesian commodities exported to the country. On the contrary, Indonesia freezed import duty on 94% of Australian product tariff posts. The Ministry of Trade Director General of International Trade Negotiations, Iman Pambagio, as released by Media Indonesia on Friday, said that several products that would benefit greatly were hybrid and electronic automotive products. The product being developed in Indonesia has already had strong demand in Australia. According to Imam Pambagio, textile and textile products such as clothing, pants, and jersey will also enjoy the cooperation. Previously, textile products and their derivatives were subject to an import duty rate of 5% to Australia, so they lost in competition to Malaysia, Thailand, and Vietnam. Some other products are electronic equipment, machinery, rubber and tires, wood, furniture, coffee, chocolate, and paper. These products have received 0% import duty preference from Australia, and their exports can be further enhanced through the concept of economic powerhouse. The concept is a collaboration of economic forces to encourage the productivity of industrial and agricultural products with the aim of increasing exports to third country market. Iman Pambagio added, in this case, Australia projects Indonesia to become a manufacturing powerhouse or processing center. For example, Australia provides raw materials for wheat, sorghum, and barley, as well as cooperation in the development of the Indonesian processed food industry, whose results are exported to various countries in the form of instant noodles, biscuits, and other products. At present, according to FIT, the government is still processing the legalization of the text that will be signed in November 2018. After being signed, it enters the ratification phase discussed with the parliament. Meanwhile, the director of the Ministry of Trade Bilateral Negotiation, Nimade Ayu Martini, said that the completion of the negotiations opened up Indonesia's potential to target Australia as the main market for hybrid and electric cars. Nimade Ayu Martini explained, with the completion of the agreement, Australia will provide export facilities for hybrid and electric cars in the form of origin provisions in the form of change in tariffs heading qualifying value content by 35% or built in Indonesia from a complete knockdown kit. He is optimistic that Indonesia will have a market share that is no less big than Thailand, which also has a major automotive market development in Australia. Looking ahead, automotive exports are expected to reduce the trade deficit between Indonesia and Australia. Based on data from the Ministry of Trade, the trade balance deficit between the two countries in January to May 2018 reached $757.9 million. Well, that was my Indonesia Today. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. Public Broadcasting Institution Radio Republik Indonesia will celebrate its 73rd anniversary on the upcoming September 11. This commemoration also marks the Radio Day. The spirit of honoring heroes and the sovereignty of Indonesia becomes the main theme of the celebration slogan, namely, from this moment, Indonesia still exists and will remain exist. North Sulawesi Province Regional Secretary said Indonesia contributed to providing conducive situation in the South China Sea territory. It was stated by Edwin Silangen at the 28th workshop on managing the conflict potential of South China Sea in Manado on Sunday. Governor of Jakarta Special Region Anies Baswedan launched the mural artwork at Taman Ismail Marzuki, Jakarta on Monday. The mural artwork is the collaboration between the Jakarta government and the Colombian Embassy in Jakarta. In his remark, Governor Anies Baswedan admitted that he felt different atmosphere when entering Taman Ismail Marzuki after looking at the works of the Colombian muralist Ledania. Therefore, the governor wants more art and cultural ornaments in Jakarta. Academician of the Palu Islamic State Institute, IAIN Palu, Arifuddin M. Arif, said Islamic boarding school was one of the pivotal pillars in establishing the practices of Islam firmly and supporting the implementation of the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. The Tourism Ministry has revised upward the number of Malaysian tourists visiting Indonesia this year to 2.6 million from 1.4 million. Deputy Assistant of Marketing Development at the Indonesian Tourism Ministry, Sumarni, said on the sidelines of Malaysia Association of Tour and Travel Agents, MATA, on Sunday, in the January to June period, 1.4 million Malaysians visited Indonesia. She hoped the number would increase to 2,570,000 at the end of this year. Effort went on to extinguish a wildfire that has raised an area measuring 9.5 hectares in Mount Sindoro Forest, located in Wonosobo and Temanggung District,
Central Java Province on Sunday. Indonesian Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan opened the 2018 Sail Moyo Tambora at the pier of the Badas Port, Sumbawa, West Nusa Tenggara on Sunday. A number of activities such as skydiving, show attraction, ship parades of Sumbawa's fishermen, marching band, tree planting, and launching the new Sultan M. Karudin III Airport also enlivened the opening ceremony. Listener, there was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Swadika, my name is Verina Sakon Pan. I'm director of Radio Thailand World Service. Happy 73rd anniversary of Radio Republic of Indonesia. May our two cooperation on radio will last forever.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Organic Tourism Village in Lombok Kulon, East Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, East Java has many natural tourism objects which have gone international, such as Mount Bromo, Pasir Putih Beach, Kawah Ijen, and many others. This region also has many tourism objects which are being developed, such as Organic Tourism Village in Lombok Kulon. Lombok Kulon Village is located at Wonosari District, Bondowoso Regency, East Java. Listeners, since 2009, Lombok Kulon Village has started highlighting a concept so-called organic hamlet. It means that all agriculture products at the village are planted organically. Besides, there are 40 fish ponds to cultivate gurame, parrot fish, and catfish. Certainly, the fish cultivation uses organic concept. Earlier, the concept was conducted independently by villagers. They applied organic agriculture at their homes and provided homestay for visitors who want to stay at night. In 2013, the rice product of the village received organic certification from Seloliman Organic Certification Institute. Thus, the village was determined as organic tourism village and began to develop various tourism aspects such as coaching tour guides, tourism village promotions, and many others. If we visit the village, organic house is one place which is the most desirable by visitor. Because at the house, the visitors can understand in detail the cultivation process of organic vegetable, and they can also directly pick up and shop the organic products. Listeners, to go to Lombok Kulon village takes around 30 minutes by motor vehicles from Bondowoso. Although the road to the village is quite narrow, the road to tourism object is quite comfortable for motor vehicle. To visit organic tourism village Lombok Kulon, the visitors can enjoy not only typical food and organic agriculture, but also river tubing or activity of free sliding at river stream by using tire. Here, the visitors can enjoy stream of clean 2 km Wonoroso River. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Organic Tourism Village in Lombok Kulon, East Java Province. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia, or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and gets you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Pantai Yang Bagus, or in English, Beautiful Beach. Stay tuned. Next, I will give you an example of conversation about Pantai Yang Bagus, or in English, Beautiful Beach. Tony wants to go to a beach. He asked Joko's opinion about the beautiful beach.
Joko, aku mau ke pantai. Menurut kamu, pantai apa yang bagus?
Pantai Parangtritis. Pantai yang paling terkenal di Jogja.
Oh, begitu.
Bagaimana kalau kita pergi bersama?
Wah, ide bagus. Terima kasih.
After the conversation, I will introduce some expressions related to the topic today, Pantai Yang Bagus, or in English, Beautiful Beach. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Aku mau ke pantai. Aku mau ke pantai. In English, I want to go to a beach. Menurut kamu, pantai mana yang bagus? In English, in your opinion, what is the beautiful beach? Pantai Parangtritis, pantai yang paling terkenal di Jogja. Pantai Parangtritis, pantai yang paling terkenal di Jogja. In English, Parangtritis Beach, the most well-known beach in Jogja. Oh, begitu. I see. Bagaimana kalau kita pergi bersama? In English, why don't we go together? Wah, ide bagus. Terima kasih. In English, it's a good idea. Thank you. In the dialogue, you've listened Tony ask Joko, menurut kamu pantai mana yang bagus? In English, in your opinion, which one is the beautiful beach? To ask opinion or recommendation from other people, you will begin with expressions. Menurut kamu, menurut Anda, or in English, in your opinion. Menurut kamu, pantai mana yang bagus? In English, in your opinion, what is beautiful beach? Menurut ibu, baju yang mana yang cocok untukku? In English, in your opinion, which one is the suitable clothes for me? Menurut Anda, buku apa yang menarik? In English, in your opinion, what is the interesting book? To answer the question, you can directly mention some things you are recommended. For example, menurut kamu, pantai apa yang bagus? In your opinion, what is the beautiful beach? Pantai Parangtritis. Pantai Parangtritis or Parangtritis Beach. Menurutku, Pantai Parangtritis. I think Parangtritis Beach. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Joko, aku mau ke pantai. Menurut kamu, pantai apa yang bagus?
Pantai Parangtritis. Pantai yang paling terkenal di Jogja.
Oh, begitu.
Bagaimana kalau kita pergi bersama?
Wah, ide bagus. Terima kasih.
Listener, the exercise for today is to describe the disease you have suffered by mentioning name of the disease. When? How long have you been sick? Where did you take for treatment? And etc. For example, nama saya Danu. Saya pernah sakit gigi 2 bulan yang lalu selama 2 minggu. Saya merasa pusing dan berobat di rumah sakit Medika. Saya harus minum obat 3 kali sehari. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, I will present Kroncong songs. To initiate our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Dewi Murni by Mus Mulyadi. Stay tuned.
Angkasa beralih di menantikan Yuan Dewi Muni turun bermandi di telaga dewa. Untung bunga semua serentak mekar menyebar wangi. Untuk menyambut Dewi Muni meniti pelangi turun mandi. Kembenkan sutra ungu melambai merinya rasa semerbak memenuhi angkasa beralih
the song Dewi Murni by Mus Mulyadi. The song is an original Kroncong song composed by Sariwono and Ucin Nur Hasim. The song tells about the beauty of the goddesses who took a bath in the lake of the gods. The song was previously often dedicated by other Indonesian Kroncong singers. Mus Mulyadi was born from an artist family. His sister and brother, also famous as Indonesian singers, namely Sumiati, a Kroncong singer who famous in Netherlands, and Mulyono, who also famous as a Kroncong singer in Surabaya. While his brother Mus Mujiono is an Indonesian pop and jazz singer. Along his career in the music world, Mus Mulyadi produced several songs which were popular among people in Solo. The songs are, among others, Dinda Bestari, Telomoyo, and Jembatan Merah. Well, listener, before we continue, let's listen to the next song entitled Setangkai Bunga Mawar by Gina Sadeli. Enjoy the song. Thank you. You've just listened to the song Setangkai Bunga Mawar by Gina Suddenly. This song tells about the roses as a sign of love between a couple lover. The journey of love sometimes does not always run beautifully. The red roses which were once looks beautiful, now just becomes memories since the beloved one has gone and will never come back. That was the story of the song Setangkai Mawar Merah by Gina Suddenly. Listener, although she had performed a number of Kroncong songs, there were not much information about the journey of Gina Suddenly's music career in the Indonesian entertainment world. However, Gina has dedicated Kroncong songs well. Listener, now let us listen to the next songs entitled Dinda Bestari by Mus Mulyadi and Bandung Selatan di Waktu Malam by Gina Suddenly. These songs will end today's music corner for today's edition. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa on the next edition of Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.